In her acclaimed debut novel, Caitlin Greenidge concocts an unusual scientific experiment. An African-American family moved from their mostly black urban neighborhood to live at a research facility in an almost all-white rural community. The Freeman family, father, mother, two daughters, have been placed at the institute to teach a chimpanzee named Charlie sign language and to raise him as a member of the family while the researchers observe and take notes. It's a story about race and language and some difficult history in this country. It's called We Love You, Charlie Freeman, and Caitlin Greenidge joins us now to talk about it. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So the image of a chimpanzee in the middle of an African-American family is obviously a loaded one. Why did you decide to make that the launching point of this book?
For a couple of reasons. So I had gone to a lecture a few years back that was about animals and deviance, and someone was talking about a kind of famous early case of a group of married anthropologists who raised their son with a chimpanzee, and they published a book about it called The Ape and the Child. The book came out, and they were kind of really lambasted for deciding to do this, and they gave the chimp away, and their son kind of came to a sad end. So I thought, oh, wow, this is a really dramatic, interesting story. And the more that I looked into families raising or trying to raise their children with chimpanzees, it always ends very badly. It's a terrible idea. You should never kind of do it. And so I just liked the dramatic arc of that. That was very interesting to me. I was looking to write a story that looked at race or talked about race in kind of a way that I felt was lacking or wasn't as loud or as prominent as some of the other discussions about race. And so I came up with this concept that was kind of shocking to myself when I thought of it, and I dared myself, I guess, to write into it because it felt so uncomfortable.
Well, what do you mean to try to create a conversation that's different than some of the other ones that are going on about race? What did you want to bring to the conversation?
The way that we live race has changed, obviously, very much. Even in the last 10 years, it's changed a lot. But a lot of the time, our popular conversations are about race are still in the terms and the rhythms of kind of civil rights era discussions about race. And we don't really have a way to talk about race and class in a really complicated way or the way that actually we all kind of live it. And we definitely don't have a way to talk about race and gender in the ways that we live it. So I was looking for a way to kind of explore some of those issues. And it was important to me that this read and work on a craft level as a work of fiction as well.
Well, and I want to ask you to actually read something from your book here on page 66. If you could read, starting with In Honor Of.
In honor of her lost Hallelujah players, Laurel resolved to use black sign language whenever she could. It was the 70s, she explained. But in truth, it wasn't as flippant as that. She fell in love with the black dialect's beauty. She loved the theatricality, the delicacy, the force of it. She came to believe that it was her charge to show this beauty to the rest of the world. When she left school, she made a pact with herself to always sign black. But when she applied for jobs at deaf schools, her potential employers shifted uncomfortably in their seats when they saw her sign and politely suggested she apply for assistant positions, not lead teachers.
Now, when you say sign black, what does that mean? How is that different from mainstream sign language?
So there is a African-American sign language or black sign language, which rose out of the history of there being segregated schools for the deaf. But what I found really interesting about it was that African-American sign language uses signs that standard ASL have kind of abandoned for being politically incorrect or for being offensive. Hmm. And so I just really found that irony really interesting that there are these signs that in the 70s and 80s, ASL decided were just not for a polite society, but African-American Sign Language has continued to use them. And so when I found out that detail and also started to look into some of those signs that were different, I just knew I had to include it in the book because it was just so fascinating.
Well, why use sign language so front and center in this book, which, as we've talked about, is really hitting on a lot of these themes of race?
Well, part of the thing that I wanted to talk about in the book was the ways that different forms of language fail us. I think there are those moments when just the words are not enough or won't come. We don't have the way yet to describe what feels like a new feeling or what feels like a new way of looking at the world. You know, the language that came out in 2008 was President Obama is president, that means racism is over and we're in a post-racial moment. Clearly, that is not the case and was not the case in 2008 either. But I don't know that on a national media level that we had a way to describe what was going to happen next.
That's Caitlin Greenidge, whose novel is called We Love You, Charlie Freeman. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.